Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23, the feasts of Jehovah. Tomorrow's April 10th. On the Jewish calendar, that is Passover for this year. Passover is always on the 14th day of Nisan. And on that day, they celebrate Passover, the slaying of the lamb. And we looked at the Feast of Passover last Sunday and symbolic of Jesus. The day after Passover begins the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And of course, it's symbolic of Jesus, who is the bread of life. And so we're going to look at the Feast of Unleavened Bread this Sunday. And then next Sunday, we will look at the Feast of First Fruits, where the first of the harvest is given unto the Lord. And the New Testament says, Christ is the first fruits of them that sleep. Jesus said, I have not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And most of the time, when we see the word law, we think of Ten Commandments. But the word law there is Torah, the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I have not come to destroy the five books of Moses. I have come to fulfill them. Paul wrote in the book of Galatians, the law was our schoolmaster that might lead us to Christ. And again, law, we think of Ten Commandments, but again, the word there is Torah. The first five books of the Bible are our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. If you look at Colossians 2:16, Paul makes the point that there are holy days and feast days and new moons in the Old Testament, which were shadows of things to come, Paul says, but the fullness is Christ, Colossians 2:16. So this is the calendar of Israel, the religious calendar of Israel, Passover, and then the next day, unleavened bread. There were three feasts required. Every Jew had to come to Jerusalem for three feasts, according to Deuteronomy 16:16. They had to come for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They had to come for the Feast of Weeks. We call that Passover. And they had to come for the Feast of Tabernacles. So let me read this to you. Beginning in verse 6, Leviticus 23, verse 6, and on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. Yuck! No flavor. Flat. But it has a reason for that. In the first day you shall have a holy convocation. Every holy convocation is a Sabbath, no matter what day of the week it falls on. Normally we think of Sabbath as just Saturday. But every day that's a holy convocation is a Sabbath. Passover didn't fall on Saturday, but Passover was a Sabbath. Verse 8, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days, and the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein. The unleavened bread of the Jews was a sourdough bread. Now you can take unbleached flour and sugar and water and let it ferment somewhere for a week, and you have sourdough starter. And they would take it, put it in the bread would rise. Bread rising is fermentation, it's corruption, it's being puffed up, okay? And I love puffed up bread, okay? I love sandwiches, I'm sorry, but I could live on sandwiches, all right? But every time they made bread, they'd save a little pinch off of it, put it in a dry, warm, moist place, and then they would use it for the next starter. I know someone in Tennessee that their sourdough starter goes back to the Civil War. It's been passed down in their family for generations. Because you save a little piece and use it for the next batch, and you save it a little piece and use it for the next batch. But leaven in the Bible is a symbol of sin, of corruption. It puffs up. You know what puffs up is pride. Pride is one of the worst sins in the Bible. Pride goeth before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. What is the middle letter of sin? I. What is the middle letter of Lucifer? I. What is the middle letter of pride. See, the devil had eye trouble. I will ascend on high. I will be like the Most High. I will go above the throne of God. What is the cry of the Mimi bird? I. Wow. So, but another thing here. You take a little piece and you pass on the fermentation, and you take a little piece and you pass on the fermentation. When did sin enter the world? Through Adam. And from Adam it passed on to every generation after that. Just like the sourdough passes on to every generation of bread after that. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:21, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Symbol of sin. Jesus said, Matthew 16:6, "Beware the leaven of the Sadducees." Now, they were the liberals. Didn't believe in heaven, didn't believe in the resurrection, didn't believe in life after death. They were sad, you see. Okay? They were the liberals. And we got liberals today. Beware of the leaven of the liberals. Jesus didn't die on the cross. Jesus didn't rise from the grave. Jesus isn't literally coming back. Jesus wasn't born of a virgin. In fact, all Christianity is being good to your fellow man and living a nice life. And God grades on a curve, and when the good outweighs the bad, you go to heaven. In fact, if you look at the movie The Shack, everybody goes to heaven eventually. People go to hell till they realize they were wrong, and then God sends them to heaven, according to The Shack. And I'm still reading that book called Burning Down the Shack, okay? So I'm enjoying that. Beware of the leaven of the Sadducees. He also said in that verse, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, the legalists, the guys that were caught up in ritual, the guy that if you keep all the rules, you can work your way to heaven. And that's not true either. Let's be formal. Let's do all these rituals. Let's make all these man-made things up and do them in the name of religion. And he also said in Mark 8:15, beware of the leaven of Herod, the Herodians. Now, the Herodians were a political party that supported King Herod, who was not a Jew. He was an Idumean. He was an Edomite. And Herod wanted to play politics with Rome and stay on Rome's good side, and he would stab you in the back, and he would lie. You know, why do politicians do what they do? Follow the money. Right, a politician always does what's in their own self-interest rather than the country. And we need godly men in government that will do what's right, no matter what. Power and money, the Herodians. Worldliness, compromise with the world, the Herodians. Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Herodians. All of these people corrupted the nation of Israel. They were leaven, according to Jesus. And Jesus also taught a parable, Matthew 13:33, the parable of the loaf, where the woman had three measures of meal and she put leaven in it and it all puffed up great big. That's the church today in the world. When I lecture on Christianity in world religion class, supposedly there are 2 billion Christians in the world. But that's somebody with their name on a church roll, that's somebody that got sprinkled in the face when they were a baby, that's somebody that checks the box because we live in a Christian country. There are not 2 billion born-again believers in the world, I do not think. In fact, Billy Graham made the comment when I was young, which was a long time ago, that he thought that 90% of everybody whose name is on a church roll is lost. In fact, every time Billy Graham did a crusade, there will always be a couple of ministers that would come down and be saved because they had never been born again. They had never put their faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and receive forgiveness for their sins. Beware of the leaven. It's corrupting. Now, with understanding that about leaven, Paul says, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth a whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven in your lives, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast of unleavened bread, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Over and over again, Paul quotes that scripture, purge out the old leaven. In fact, before they do Passover, the Jews would search their house and get rid of any leaven, get rid of any symbol of sin before they sacrificed the lamb. In fact, today, Jewish parents will take pieces of leaven and hide them around the house so the children can find them, purging out the old leaven before the feast of unleavened bread. Now, unleavened bread is flat, it is tasteless, it's like crackers, but bread was a staple. People lived on bread. That was the main thing they ate. Napoleon said an army moves on its stomach, and bread was the staple. Bread symbolizes everything that we eat that keeps us alive. That's why Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. But when you look at Passover bread, and this is official Jewish Passover bread, it is manna shevetz. Is that right? Don't get any more Jewish than manna shevetz. This is unleavened bread, okay? What's it made out of? Numbers 28 says it's made out of flour and oil. How do you get flour? You have to thresh the wheat. You have to stomp on it or throw it up in the air and the chaff goes away. Then you have to crush it and mill it to get wheat. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He was bruised for our iniquities. You have to mix it with oil. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. When he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came down as a dove, and a voice from heaven, God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So Jesus is the bread of life. It has holes in it. All Jewish leavened bread, unleavened bread, has holes in it. Psalm 22:16 says, they looked upon him who they pierced. And it has burn stripes on it. You see that? You can't see them. Come up here and look at it later. You can have a piece if you want one. Isaiah 53:5, by his stripes we are healed. Jesus is the unleavened bread. Now, in a Jewish Passover today, they have three pieces of bread. They use the first one and the last one. They don't use the middle one. Jesus was crucified between two thieves. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They hide the middle piece of bread, and Jesus was hidden in the earth for 3 days in the tomb. Interesting. The 3 days in the tomb, the middle part's hidden. Now, Jesus says on leavened bread, there is no leaven in him. Bible says he was sinless, Hebrews 7:26, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, eternal in the heavens. 1 Peter 1:19, for you not redeemed with silver and gold, but as the precious blood of the Lamb, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. But Jesus said he was the bread of life. And we sang, break thou the bread of life. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 32. Then Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now, Jesus was the bread of life. Where was he born? Jesus was born in Bethlehem. What does the Hebrew word Bethlehem mean? Beth is house, lehem is bread. Bethlehem is the house of bread. The bread of life was born in the house of bread. Wow. Someone asked a Jewish rabbi one time, is that a coincidence in the Bible? And he said, coincidence is not a kosher word, okay? Yeah, God put all this in there for us to understand. Now, while they're doing the Passover meal with the unleavened bread, they also have the 4 cups of wine. And the Mishnah says the wine is not straight wine. The wine is mixed with warm water. It's wine and warm water. When the soldier thrust the spear into the side of Jesus, what came out? Water and blood, room temperature, body temperature, 98.6 if you're normal. Now, the Bible says you're supposed to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days. Seven is the number of completeness. I think it represents your life after you receive Jesus. Billy Graham said one time, receiving Christ is the end of the Christian life, but it's the front end. Then we have a whole life, our complete life, we are to live without leaven. The Passover represents redemption. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, God committed his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ, the Passover lamb, died for us. But the Feast of Unleavened Bread talks about living after the lamb is slain and we apply the blood. It's about fellowship. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Revelation 3:20, if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and him with me. Fellowship with Jesus daily. And it's about your holy walk. Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, in all meekness and all gentleness. Walk in the Bible is about the way we live. Remember baptism? Romans chapter 6, we were buried with Christ in baptism unto death, and we are raised to walk in newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Ephesians 5:2, walk in love as Christ hath loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice as a sweet-smelling savor unto God. Walking wisely, walk ye circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. And 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The Passover delivered them from Egypt and slavery. Unleavened bread celebrates being free from sin and living a Christian life. And we're supposed to do it the rest of our lives. Living the Christian life, people have called it different things. Some people call it the Christ-filled life based on John 14:20. Jesus said, in that day I shall be in my Father, and he shall be in me, and I shall be in you, the Christian. Jesus lives inside all of us, the Christ-filled life as we walk. Jack Taylor called it the Spirit-filled life, Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine wherein there is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you've been around drunks, you've seen drunks. They're weepy drunks, and they're angry drunks, and they're talky drunks, and they're drunks that want to fight everybody. And when you're a big guy, drunks want to fight you, okay? If you're around drunks, I've had that happen a couple of times, okay? But be ye not drunk with wine where there's excess, but be ye drunk with the Holy Spirit. What happens when you're drunk? You know, people become very mouthy and threatening and vile, and some people say, oh, that's just the liquor talking. Well, it is. But when you're filled with the Spirit, that's the Spirit talking. You know, people get aggressive or they get weepy and, oh, they're just doing that because they're drunk. Yeah, but as we live like Jesus, we're doing that because we're drunk with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit-filled life. Be ye not drunk with wine wherein there is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, J. Sidlow Baxter called it the exchanged life, and he used Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We exchange our life for Jesus' life in us. The exchanged life. Stephen Olford used to call it making Jesus Lord of your life. Jesus can be Savior, but not Lord. Savior means he saves you. Lord means he's your boss. OK? okay? John 20:28, Jesus appeared unto doubting Thomas, and Thomas fell at his feet and said, "My Lord and my God." He confessed that Jesus was God, but he was Lord, and the word Lord means master. It means boss, making Jesus the boss of your life. Watchman Nee called it the normal Christian life. Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 14. And if you don't know Watchman Nee, tremendous Chinese Christian, has little books that are tremendously spiritual. Romans 6:11, "Likewise reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." The normal Christian life. That's the name of one of his books. He said, the problem is, if you're living the normal Christian life, people in the world are going to think you're abnormal. You know, we're the ones that are nuts if we're living like Jesus. Or sometimes life is compared as a race. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. "Wherefore, being compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses," we're in a grandstand running a race, and the people in the stands are watching us, the people in heaven. "Wherefore, being encompassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every sin and the weight that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." And in the Olympic Games and the Isthmian Games, which were the trials for the Olympics in Paul's day, when you came around the last curve and you're running toward the finish line, they would set up the image of your God, whichever God you worshiped was set up. So you were looking at your God and you were running at your God toward the finish line, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lay aside every sin and the weight that does so easily beset us. Get rid of the leaven. Sweep out the leaven. Find the leaven in your house and throw it away. And live the feast of unleavened bread. Just like Jesus was unleavened in his sinless life and his perfect death. So he asks us to get rid of the leaven that weights us down. And run the race of life. Passover, separation from Egypt, freedom from slavery. For us, freedom from sin. But unleavened bread is separation from sin, living an unleavened life the rest of our lives. Leighton Ford, Billy Graham's brother-in-law, he was an evangelist on the Billy Graham team. Leighton Ford was asked, this is the only thing I remember about Leighton Ford, but it was good. Leighton Ford was asked, "If I'm saved, why is it taking me so long to get better?" Good question. We're all on our way, but we're not there yet. And Leighton Ford used an example of Douglas MacArthur, World War II, island hopping against the Japanese. Let me talk about the Battle of Iwo Jima, okay? You're the island of Iwo Jima. How did the United States conquer the island of Iwo Jima? The battle lasted from February 19th to March 26, 1945. Well, first of all, we shelled the island. The Navy, just the Air Force, bombed it over and over and over for days. That's like the Holy Spirit convicting us that we need to be saved, okay? Now, once they thought they could establish a beachhead, the Marines go in, they land. They establish a beachhead on the island. What's that like? That's us being saved, inviting Jesus Christ to come into our life. We've got the island now, but what's wrong? There's still Japanese in caves. There's still Japanese in bunkers. There are still pockets of resistance in place of a total victory. So what do you have to do after that? You have to locate all the pockets of the enemy and take them out. So the whole island is under American control. We're saved, but we've still got pockets of leaven, and we need to search them out and get rid of them so Jesus is boss over our whole life. I had two great aunts that lived in Sanford, and they lived to be in their 90s. Singletaries live a long time. And they had houses, and they would lock the front porch door when they went to bed at night, and then they would lock the front door. Then they had doors on their hallway, so they would lock the hallway door, and then they would lock the bedroom door. So if there was ever a fire, they'd have burned up. They'd have never gotten out. But that's an example. They asked Spurgeon one time. They said, how do I make Jesus the boss of your life? And he said, you got a set of keys? And he said, yeah. He said, now, are you saved? And the guy said, yes. He said, then you've given Jesus the key to your heart. But there are other rooms in your life that you haven't given Jesus the key to yet. Making Jesus the Lord of your life is giving all the keys to Jesus and leaving him in charge. And that's what we're talking about with the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The Passover, that was the lamb that was slain. That, for the Jewish people, that starts tomorrow. But the next day is a holy Sabbath, a holy convocation. It begins the Feast of Unleavened Bread, where they eat the unleavened bread for a whole week to symbolize living free of sin, Jesus as your Lord for the rest of your life. It's a tremendous, tremendous example of God's truth in the Old Testament. We're going to sing an invitation hymn, number 320.